Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just come to you and ask you to anoint each one of us tonight to share what's on our hearts, the things that you've placed there, Lord. We're in some kind of a perilous times now for those that are in the world. But Father, we know that we're in excited anticipation for the things that you're going to do through your people, Lord. Exciting times ahead, Father, and we just thank you for that. And I ask, Lord, that tonight be a special night with you, Lord, that people would come forth and give the testimonies and praise reports and maybe even a little of what you have shown them over this past few days, Lord. We just thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for all the work that you're doing in each one of us, getting us on that narrow road and getting rid of all the darkness in our hearts, Lord. We praise you for that and setting us up on that high road, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We just ask that you put that bold faith in us that when we look in the mirror, we see Jesus. We don't see our natural face. We see you, Lord. And we're calling the things that are not as though they were. We're looking at the end and not the beginning, Lord. And we're forgetting those things in the past, looking forward to the future, Lord. And we praise you for that, Lord. We praise you for the things you're giving us, you're showing us, and teaching us, Lord. We praise you for that in Jesus' name. Lord, we just ask for your anointing tonight. Bless everybody in the fellowship, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Or they would like to pray for somebody? Well, I'd like to pray, so I'm just going to pray. Lord, there are some of us that are struggling in this last onslaught of the enemy that's trying to take people out. And Father, we just thank you for that shield, that armor that you've given us, in Ephesians. Thank you, Lord, that you've made all of this available to us. I'm going to turn there. And we praise you, Father, for that. We thank you, Lord, for helping us pray for the brothers and sisters that we know that are struggling, Lord, and to lift them up and encourage them, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring them through it. You've told us, Lord, that we're not going to lose anybody. And I believe it, and I'm calling it as done. And I thank you, Lord, that you're bringing them in, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in all of us. You only chastise those that you love, Lord. And I understand that, and I thank you for that. You told us to thank you in the times of trouble and also in the time of goodness, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're doing that. Somebody's got not muted there. Father, we ask that you would grant us, according to the riches of your glory, that we might be strengthened with power through your Spirit in the inward man, that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith to the end that us, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now unto us that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and ever and ever. and ever. And when all the evers are done, amen. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father, for all that you're doing. Thank you, Lord. I'm looking up something here while I'm praying, so bear with me here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else would like to pray? Well, I know y'all need to pray. Come on now. Y'all got something you need. You know, I'd like to pray for a friend of mine. He pocket called me today, and I hadn't heard from him in probably 10 years. Lord, I just lift up Frank Miller to you. And I ask, Father, that you do a work in him. Bring him into the kingdom, Lord. I ask that you grant repentance to him and draw him to you, Lord, in a mighty, mighty way in his times ahead. And I thank you for it, Lord. I just praise you for what you're doing, Lord. In Frank Miller right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anybody else? Oh, y'all quiet tonight. let's see here. I'm typing in something here. Hang on.
Hey.
Yeah, Wade.
Wade, yeah. I wanted to pray for my neighbor. He's not sleeping. He has a back condition, and he's trying to get disability. I'm thinking, you know, that maybe he'd be better off not going for disability, but to be healed so that he could do whatever he needs to do if there's major problems ahead, which I'm sure they are, that he could go to someplace during the trial. I'm hoping he would go to Tennessee with us. But I just wanted to pray for him. He's having trouble sleeping, and that's the main thing. In Jesus' name, I pray God would solve his problem, which he's tossing and turning for, and that he would be brought closer to Christ. He believes in Jesus. He's a Methodist, but he's not too big on the spiritual realm. He says he speaks in tongues. I don't know. And I tried to get him the first book, Sovereign God, but he's got a lot of other books that maybe he's reading. I pray that he would read Sovereign God, that somehow God would work a miracle, and instead of his other books, he'd want to read Sovereign God. He does ask me for spiritual information, you know. I pray that I'll be useful to God in helping him and his wife in Jesus' name. And that God will get his car fixed at a reasonable price in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for giving Wade wisdom and understanding and the words to say to this man. And we praise you for
it,
Lord.
Michael.
Amen.
Michael Morgan.
Do what?
His name is Michael Morgan.
Oh, okay.
I pray God will bring him into the kingdom, so that he knows, he knows the gift God has given him.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That's a done deal, Wade.
That sounds good to me.
Amen, brother. All right. Anybody else? You know, Belinda had a vision or a dream, I forget which, that she saw this big angel or this big person, this big soldier, and he was putting on this armor, and he was a big, big soldier, and he was dressed up like a warrior, and she said that when he would put on every piece of equipment that he put on, he would say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for girding my loins with truth and having, and thank you, Lord, for putting that, for this breastplate of righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for shoeing my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Thank you, Father, for giving me the shield of faith, wherewith I'm able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Thank you, Lord, for this helmet of salvation that I put on. And I praise you, Father, for the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And every piece that he put on, he would thank the Lord. And then when he got ready, he was ready to go to war in a spiritual sense. And that's what we ought to be doing every day, every morning. We get up, we thank you, Lord, for this armor that you're putting on me, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to stand behind me in everything that I do. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to guide me in everywhere I go. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to guard my lips to speak only blessings for your people, Lord, and curses against the enemy. And I thank you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name and making a great warrior out of me, Lord, spiritual warrior and intercessor for your people, Lord. That's what we ought to be doing every day now. It's putting that, thanking God for this armor he's given us, which is the Word of God and the helmet of salvation, all of those things. Amen. That's what I'm going to start doing myself. She gave us that a few days ago, and I had forgotten about it until this morning. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to share, pray with, testimony, praise report, what the Lord's given you? Come on now, let's have a little interaction here. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
I could share a little bit about my marathon. After the Tuesday conference call, I got to bed right away and ended up getting up about 4 in the morning and heading out way up to Ohio for my mom's funeral. And I picked up my son, so we ended up spending from where he's at. 6 or 7 hours of drive time. Just had this great conversation all the way up that. And got a hotel room and jumped into our suits and just made it there just in time. The funeral hall. And it was there were more people showed up than I was expecting. Pretty good turnout. And I just was trying to be in the rest as far as what I would share, my sister wanted to share. And I was kind of thinking about it the first couple hours. It was like a 2-hour show, and then they had a little service, and then they broke the graveyard. Our cemetery was right on property there, so they had a sunset service at the at the grave, and she was cremated. She was buried in my dad's grave. As far as that, so she was actually buried on top of that. So we got there and there was a few old friends that showed up, and it's kind of nice. I was able to my secretary showed up, and she's a believer, and I just was able to share a lot of testimonies with God's MC, and that was real good. And they had a service. And they ended up, she was kind of an answer, or was the pastor that was at hospice. And I started talking to him, and I could tell I was just telling him about words, teaching me how to just be led of the word, walk in faith, and I was just trying to just share a little bit with him, and I could tell that he just didn't understand. Just didn't have depth there. So during the service, I ended up my sister had me read the obituary, and then I just kind of shared much. And I had no idea what I was going to say. I thought I was going to go up there. And I knew I just wanted to share testimonies. And that's what's teaching me the best thing, is to share testimonies. So I pretty much shared about my, ride up there. And I talked a little bit about my mom and shared just the... I talked about unforgiveness. And I knew that she came from a dysfunctional family, and there was a lot of drinking and abuse and divorce, bitterness and anger there. And so I shared as far as knowing that my mom was not right before, and my prayer was that she would end up in the kingdom of heaven with the Lord. And I talked about meekness, and I talked about faith, and I talked about some things I shared with my mom's heart, that God is in her heart, it's not in the church. And I shared that I knew that she had deferred by religion and man, and that she had opened up, and I could tell that there, when I was just sharing that, there was a lot of Catholics, I was really talking about Jesus' heart and I was just sharing my heart. So it went really awesome. I shared what I kind of shared with you guys as far as seeing her her wedding ring still, and she's been divorced probably 20 years, along with my dad's wedding ring, and just how they loved each other, but because of the curse and their demons and that they just did not get along. And so the message was, there was some boldness there, but I knew I could be because there was some things I really wanted to get into, but it was me, my flesh.
Hey, Tim.
Yes, can you hear me?
Well, I can, but you're breaking up quite a bit, and it's kind of hard to understand a lot of what you're saying. I don't know if it's a phone where you got it located or not.
I'll try putting... Is that any better?
Oh, yeah, much better.
Okay, I just put the phone up on the dashboard, so hopefully.
Yeah, okay.
So bottom line is I shared with boldness, and I, just gave testimony. I shared the confirmation that the Lord gave me and how the Lord spoke to me as far as my faith. By opening up the word, putting my finger down, I talked about pieces and different things, which is just kind of awesome. And I can tell a lot of people are getting teared up, and there's all kinds of emotions when I'm sharing that. But I really hit base on just having your heart right word and forgiving and the awesome confirmation I got from the Lord. And afterwards, turns out one of my sister's best friends comes up to me and says, "I'm a born-again Christian." And she was in tears. She was just like, everything you were saying spoke, and that what's going on in your mom. And she shared with me that her father is a preacher, and she had contacted her father to come and share the gospel with my mom. But what I found out from my sister is that he brought a whole band full of people from his church, and my sister saw them walk in and knew that my mom wouldn't accept to do that. You know, all these people coming in at that point, so she pretty much shut it down at that point. And they were, I think, the Southern Baptist preacher. So she had shared that her heart, you know, she'd been praying with my mom, and just everything I shared just really blessed her. And I mean, she was just in tears. And it was pretty awesome. And it was the pastor got up, and I mean, he was just kind of what he shared. It was okay, but it was, you know, pleasing to the flesh. And it was, he tried to, thinking that my mom had a Catholic background, which she did, you know, he tried to kind of combine that, did the Lord's Prayer and a few things like that. I think he was trying to combine Catholicism with, you know, baptism, or, you know, he was a Baptist type thing. And so he shared two things that was kind of, you know, kind of interesting, because the first thing he said when he went up, after I had shared that, he went up to share, he opened up with, you know, and he said it kind of loud, is, you know, get the hell out of here, was the first response my mom when he walked into the room. And then over time, her heart was softened, and then she invited him in, and then they became friends. And I saw that as just our answered prayer, because I was just praying for my mom that her heart would be right. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. And then he also shared about her when they were getting ready to pray, and he said, you know, she looked up in the air, and she pointed, and he said, you know, working hospice, all kinds, you know, they see all kinds of things like that, as far as, you know, some of the people, they're seeing angels or different things. And a lot of people say, well, that's medication, but I don't do that. So he's kind of sharing from a hospice point of view, because he's basically, you know, the hospice pastor. And he said she was just staring up in the air, and she pointed her finger and said that, you know, before they prayed, that she had a tab that needed to get taken care of. And it was, you know, she was talking about a bar tab, and it was, you know, $1.45, something like that. So he had shared that, and he didn't get the fullness of it. And afterwards, before we went to the cemetery, I was talking to him in the lobby, and we were waiting for them to, you know, basically button up the, bring everything out so we could go to the cemetery. And I shared with them that I had texted my sister and said, tell mom that Jesus paid the tab, paid the bull, and the importance on that. And I think at that point he got it. And when we went to the graves, he shared it, and he brought that into it, and talking about Jesus paid the price, which I thought was good. And he even sang a song, which was pretty awesome as far as that. So it was handled very well. And the thing was, it rained all day. And when we got to the cemetery, it was clouded up. I mean, there was just, you know, it was cloudy, and there was some breaks of clouds. And when we drove up, the whole sky just turned pink. It was just awesome. was just for that 10 minutes. We just drove up, the whole sky just turned pink. And I told my sister that, because I told her when, you know, she wanted to do a sunset, you know, funeral. And my other sister, you know, when we were making the arrangements last week when I was up there, and my other sister said, well, what if it rains? And I had said, no, we're going to pray. And we're going to have favor in the weather. And so my sister saw that that was an answer to prayer. When the sky just turned pink, you know, the sun just leaked through for a short time. So that was pretty awesome, and so all in all, it was really kind of a heartfelt type ceremony. My sisters got up, and shared some members of the grandchildren got up, and I kind of brought a real serious message, and then they came up and just kind of shared some good times, and kind of balanced it out a bit. But so we ended up after that. I mean, it was a typical, you know, my family is all about drinking. And when we pulled up to the gravesite, I looked over and there's champagne chilling at the side of the graveyard. And I just was like, you got to get me. But, you know, so at the close of the ceremony, there was a champagne toast for my mom, and so then afterwards they had like hors d'oeuvres and drinks and that at a local restaurant, and that was actually was an awesome time because I had a lot of people come up to me and talk to me, and all I did was just talk about the Lord, share testimony. And that young lady that that was born again, you know, and she came right up. Here's she's one of my sister's best friends. You know, she said, "Yeah, I'm a born again Christian." So I just started. I mean, I talked to her for probably about a half hour about walking in faith, believing everything Bert said. She said that she doesn't go to church. And, you know, I told her, "Neither do I." That the Lord called me out of the church. And, I mean, I was able to share a lot with her as far as just miracles and what God is doing. And then towards the end, I did share. I said, so you need to just press for some judgment that's coming. And I don't know where she stands on anything, but and I said, just if the Lord tells you, go somewhere, do something. Don't worry about any of your stuff. Just be obedient to the Lord. And then she shared with me that she's got a fear of man and fear of what others think. And I said, well, that's just the spirit. I said, I can pray for you, let's go right now. And that kind of freaked her out. So she kind of walked away after that. Yeah, but it was all. I mean, it was all good, and then I got into. I had an awesome time with my cousin. It turns out when we left the funeral hall, we were in the procession to go to the cemetery, and he runs out of gas on the way over there. So he's out of gas, and so afterwards, the grave digger is waiting for us to leave. Now, it's dark now, and he ends up walking over to him to see if he could help him out with some gas. And he says, yeah, he could. So I ended up waiting at his car because he left his lights on. And I didn't know if he was going to do a jump or anything like that. And so we're just kind of hanging out. He was gone a while. And he comes up to me. I see him coming with the guy that was waiting. And he's got a smile on his face. And said, that God knew what he was doing when my car ran out of gas. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, I just buried your mom. And I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, I had, he introduced me to his new friend, the guy, the grave digger, whatever. And he says, yeah, he just told me what needed to be done. And I put the tags, the identification tags on the urn, and I put your mom on the ground. And I threw a rose on top of her, and I put the dirt back. And he was all proud of that. Just like, I knew I was supposed to do that. And then he tells me that I gave him a Bible, and I just threw it on his front seat. I said, hey, I got you a gift that I figured you would. Yeah, it's pretty positive. And he said, I want to tell you something. Since we had lunch last week, he said, all I've heard everywhere is about forgiveness. That I've heard forgiveness. I turn on the television, they're talking about forgiveness. I mean, just conversation. He says, that's all I've heard from about since you had lunch with me. And he said, and even today at the service, it's all about forgiveness. And I said, dear, I said, the Lord's talking to me. God's talking to me. And he says, yeah, I know. It's pretty awesome. So we ended up, had a real good talk again. And I even had a talk with my sisters, I guess they'd be brothers-in-law, but the whole talk was about Catholic Church and how the Catholic Church is changing, how there's just a whole new spirit in the church. And the whole message now, because they were talking about going through Catholic school and, you know, being hit with rulers and, you know, just, you know, and my cousin was part of this conversation about the brutality they went through in Catholic school. And, you know, and this my sister's brother-in-law was just sharing how the whole message now about God is love and everything about love. So I thought it was interesting that he was sharing that the whole message was changing. And, you know, instead of just everything is summed up in one thing, and that's love. But it was really a good time. It was, you know, 10 hours up for a 5-hour funeral, and then, you know, 10 hours back. So it was kind of a grueling thing. But all in all, I saw God's hand on it, and I was able to talk to quite a few people and just share testimonies. I tried to steer everything to the Lord, and it's good. So I think there was, you know, a lot of seeds planted. It was kind of funny because my sister, you know, works in the hotel industry. She had a friend get us real nice room at the hotel, but the hotel was sold out, and we ended up, the room that we had was all it had queen size bed in it. So I ended up sleeping with Luke last night. Got in, I don't know, it was probably around 10 o'clock or something like that, and we were up for a little bit talking. I fell asleep, and the night he rolls over and hits me. I wake up like 4 a.m. I was like, oh no. And I could not go back to sleep. I was up for probably about 7, and then ended up laying down for, so I ended up, I don't know, got about an hour sleep back up. So going on very little sleep. But it's awesome. Awesome. So God's working on my cousins and my sisters. I just see that they're giving glory to God, and it's kind of exciting to see that change of heart. So it's kind of an update from Ohio. Amen.
Amen. Kind of broke up there at the last, but I think we got most of it. That sounds like an awesome trip.
Yeah, it's been really awesome. So, had some great time with my son.
Awesome.
So it's been good.
All right. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share?
I do, Michael.
All right, Kurt.
We had prayed for Connie, my youngest daughter, and she was having gallbladder surgery, and she went in this morning, and all of that went good, and she's at home right now in a lot of pain and trying to rest and everything. So I just want to thank everybody for agreeing with me in prayer, you know, that she decided it was a surgery she needed, so we just prayed for her that everything would work out right, and it did. Well, I just want to give God the glory for keeping his hands on my daughter and what she had to go through, and thank everybody for their prayers. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Connie. Thank you, Father. All right, anyone else? Anybody gotten any words from the Lord? Any dreams, any visions? Boy, quiet. Boy, it's been quiet here from y'all, out of y'all here the last week or so. Let's see here what we can talk about here. You know, talking about talking grace instead of condemnation. If you've been in Christianity very long, you probably understand the spirits of rejection, and that's probably one of the most common spirits there is around. I haven't had to deal with it yet in my own life. I just was blessed by that. I've had skin like an alligator. It just doesn't bother me. You know, somebody gets mad, I might get mad a little bit. Even back when I was not a Christian, I get mad for a little bit, but that wouldn't be for long. I just push it off, you know. But some people harbor that unforgiveness in their heart. But we need to, as Christians and brothers and sisters, we need to speak grace in their lives and lift them up. And like Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You know, we got to learn to accept people with the problems that they have and with their imperfections. As Tim has aptly said it so many times before, the same way God accepts us, he looks at the end instead of the beginning. And we do it by grace, God's grace. God's given us grace. Now we need to give out that grace too, don't we? And we need to accept the people that God accepts, or else we're going to be judged and have unforgiveness. You know, people who have received rejection, they only got one need in their life, and they have to have faith. But instead, what they get a lot of times is condemnation. And they can't have both at the same time. When you've got condemnation, that just squeezes out all the faith in your life. They got to drop that condemnation to pick up faith. And you have to put that faith in a person's heart by pumping the Word of God in their heart. And you have to change their direction from looking inward to looking outward and upward. And everybody that, yeah.
Yeah, can I interrupt for a moment?
Sure.
Yeah, you know, this is exactly what you're talking about, exactly the revelation that I had earlier this evening. I realized that you know, the unforgiveness that I harbored, I had to hold on to it because it made me a little better than the other guy. You know, look what he did. And if I forgave him, then I lost a little bit of standing somehow. And the reason, all of that took place because I forgot the good news. I really did. I forgot the reconciliation that were offered, that was offered. And when I remember that I'm to see myself quite differently than I do, I'm able to forgive now because I'm no longer, you know, the wretch. So, and this David's talk on Sunday was such an incredible help to me. I heard it again today for the second time, and I knew that I need to hear this, you know, the first time I read it. And then the second time hearing it, it just, like, opened. I just opened up. It was incredible. And it's amazing what you're talking about right now because that's exactly what's been taking place. So excuse my interruption, but...
Oh, no, that's fine. This is for y'all. Amen. Well, thank you, Lord.
Yes, indeed. Thank you all.
Thank you, Father. You know, everybody that's got that problem, they look inward and they look at the failures that they've had and in their mind, and all they can see is that failure and the inability they have. And that's what happens a lot of time. God designed us. He's the one who put this treasure in earthen vessels. He knows we're unable, and that is part of His plan. But we need to be unable. Otherwise, it's not by grace, it's by works, right? Just like Gail was talking about. Part of God's plan is that He put this great treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God. Mute, Linda. Part of God's plan is that He put this great treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God, not from ourselves. 2 Corinthians 4:7. Everybody needs to know that you can't do it. You ain't going to be able to do it. It's got to be God that does it. So these people who are under are looking inward. They're looking at their failures, and they're thinking, I can't do it. And, you know, that's a great place to be, that I can't do it. You know you can't do it. But when a person condemns self because he can't do it, that proves that they're under the law. And when you're under the law, there ain't no faith. When you are condemning self because you can't do it, you're proving that you got your eyes looking inward instead of upward. And we got to get our eyes on the Lord. Romans 8:31. Yes?
Can I interrupt again? Can I interrupt again?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. A couple of days ago, I had a dream, and the word was that I didn't qualify. And I go, uh-oh. and I, yeah, that's probably right, you know. But today, I think I qualify.
Well, absolutely. We don't qualify, but through God's grace, we do, don't we? Absolutely. Thank you, Lord.
Right.
Praise you, Father. Through Him, we all qualify. But when we try to do it ourselves, you're right, we don't qualify. We got to get our eyes on the Lord. Right, Gail?
Indeed.
Amen. Romans 8.
Amen.
Yeah. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who's against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? Man, there ain't nothing God won't give us to supply our needs. And if He's going to give you Jesus, that's the most precious, valuable, and sacrificial gift that He had to give. And He's not going to deny us what we need to get through these trials that we go through either. Anything else is going to be like icing on the cake, right? Praise God. That's God. That's God working in us. If you're giving a great and precious gift to somebody, like a cake or something like that, you ain't going to keep the icing off of it, are you? And put a little ice cream right there beside it, too. That's a precious gift. God has given us the same thing, and he's going to give us anything that we need, but he really demands one thing. He demands faith. And guess what? He gives us that faith. Praise the Lord. And, you know, instead of rejecting the person and that problem, because that's all you can see, we got to learn to put the faith in them. Speak faith into them all the time. The power of God unto salvation. And that's the good news that we need to put in people. They need to hear, listen, Jesus set you free. He's made us free from sin. It's already passed and done. So you don't have to do anything but just have faith and believe. And sit back and rest in the knowledge that God's doing it all in you. Sometimes that's hard. People with spirits of rejection to believe. After they've heard all that criticism and all of their life and rejection. That even goes to the church. Sometimes they do that too. Those churches don't have a lot of grace. A lot of them don't. They don't know how to put that grace into people. But all we need is grace, God's favor. But you can't get that grace without faith. And you can't receive faith if you have condemnation or rejection in your heart. 8:33 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Man, judgment is upon those who reject those people who God accepts. God wants to put faith in people's heart, but when we use our own sight and wisdom to look at their problems, their situations, and failures, and also get them to look only at those things rather than at the Savior and his salvation, we steal from them that faith that God wants them to have. A lot of religious people do that. We're prone to do that. Oh, you done messed up. Bless God. You need to get right with God. Well, no, we need to get right with God and start speaking that faith in them, encouraging people. Most everybody knows when they've gone wrong. They just don't know how to get out of there and go on. And the only way to get up and go on for a Christian is to have faith. Otherwise, you wouldn't need him because you could save yourself. And you can't do that. So God's not going to permit you to get up and go on. It's got to be through grace, through your faith, or it ain't going to be nothing. We got to learn how to get grace into people's hearts by speaking that grace to them and pumping them up. Pumping them full of faith, encouraging them and telling them, you know, lifting them up all the time. Romans 8:33 again, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ Jesus that died, yea, rather, that was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You know, if you look back in Revelation chapter 5 and 2, that kind of reminds us where that angel was asking, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Who, it said, the Lamb has overcome to open up the seals. There ain't but one person. And if you remember, John was weeping because nobody had overcome to open up the seals of judgment. And nobody has overcome sin to the extent that they can judge without the anointing and wisdom of God. And if we step out ahead of God and we judge by our own sight and wisdom, we're doing something that only the Lamb has been given authority to do. He loosed the seals of judgment upon the earth. He's the Lamb. He overcame. However, sometimes we're quick to correct, even though the Bible says to be ready to avenge all disobedience when your obedience shall be made full. You know, our obedience may not be full, but we're quick to correct and point out. Now, here's y'all's problem. Don't be looking at mine, but I'm going to tell you about yours. No, we don't need to be doing that. Everybody else has pointed out their problems, too. They already know what the problem is. They just need to know how to do it. Get up off that ground and find faith and get that faith that they need. And sometimes we wonder why they can't find faith. Why can't they go on and do this? It's because we don't speak that faith into them. Get out of that condemnation stuff and start speaking grace to them. Romans 8 and 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Even as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We were accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You know, we all come from different backgrounds. And all of us have got shortcomings, and we all got pluses, too. But, you know, it's easy for each one of us to see somebody else's shortcomings. And it's easy for us to point them out, even though they've probably been pointed out at birth. It's the good news that we need to be preaching more of. And that is, Jesus has set you free. He bore the curse for us. And it set us free at Calvary from everything. From everything. And we need to accept that. A lot of times, if you can't find faith, the reason is you're not looking in the right direction. Your eye is not single, like it says in Matthew 6:22. You're either looking at yourself, your ability, or your inability. Romans 3 and 28, a man is justified by faith apart from the works of law. God justifies us, and he accepts us as righteous before we are perfect. And we can see from the word that it's got to be before we're perfect and apart from the work of the law. I mean, Romans 4 and 1, what then shall we say that Abraham our forefather hath found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not toward God. You know, when you're condemning yourself, it's because you're expecting yourself to do better. And that's not where you get success. And if you could, or if anybody else by willpower could be better, then they would be justified by their own works, and they'd be able to glory before the Lord. But that ain't possible, is it? I know I have been failing miserably when I tried to pick myself up, you know, and get out of a situation. I had to rely on God eventually. Kept failing and kept failing and kept failing. Okay, Lord, you know, take this from me. Take this thing from me, Lord, because I sure can't do it. And that's where we have to get to a point in all of our lives. When something's hindering you, just ask the Lord to take it from you. Submit to him. Just like Abraham did. For what saith the scriptures? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. And that's our job. And that's our job, to put that belief in people, to believe God, right? Abraham believed God before he ever saw the answer. And everybody, just like Abraham, has to believe God before they see the answer. We got to believe God for deliverance in those things that hinder us before we ever get delivered. But we got to believe that we are. That's the gospel, and that's what faith is, calling the things that are not as though they were. Romans 4 and 17, for what saith the scripture? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, that's you and me, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Now that's God's acceptance. So we have to accept whom God accepts. If we don't accept them, then we're going to be speaking the wrong things to those people. We're going to be hurting somebody. And we're going to separate them from God sometimes. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And chapter 4:5 says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Even as David also pronounceth blessings upon the man unto whom God reckoneth righteousness apart from his works, or from works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not reckon sin. Is this blessing then pronounced upon the circumcision or upon the uncircumcision also? What is circumcision? It's cutting away of the flesh. It's a symbol of our deliverance from the bondage of the flesh, a cutting away of the foreskin of the flesh in our hearts. It symbolizes putting to death the flesh that you've been sowing all your life. When you cut off the foreskin, it's changing the way you sow. In other words, you're not sowing the flesh anymore, praise God. And the only way that we're going to reap the blessings of God is if we change the way we sow. Notice what Paul said in Romans 4:9. Is this blessing then pronounced upon the circumcision or upon the uncircumcision also? You know, when we say of Abraham, his faith is reckoned for righteousness, was that when he was in circumcision or uncircumcision? When exactly did God call Abraham righteous? Man, it was before he received the sign of the covenant circumcision. And that's a type of our deliverance from our old carnal nature. Some of you might be saying circumcision is baptism. Well, that's true. Paul said that circumcision is a type of baptism in Colossians chapter 2. Baptism is putting to death the old man and the resurrection of the new man. When you go underneath that water and come back out again, you're a new man. You done left that old man underneath that water where he's to die. And that's what it's all about. It's an act of faith where we are being united with Christ in death, burial, and resurrection. Resurrection, as Galatians 2:20 says. When we come up out of that water, we say, I'm a new man, it's Christ who lives, and that old man is dead. And we're reckoned that away by faith. Baptism has to be manifested in our life. We are continually, daily dying and letting Christ come to life in us every day. Paul said, I die daily in 1 Corinthians 15. He manifested his baptism daily. It was a manifestation that was coming to pass in his life. And if baptism is not manifested in our life, then that act of faith doesn't have any works at all. The washing of the water of the word is putting to death our old man, and that new man is coming up continuously. You know, even before that manifestation, even before circumcision is manifested in your life, before you are sanctified, holy, completely unto the Lord, God counts you righteous. Praise God. Romans chapter 4 and verse 10. How then was it reckoned when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. before he had manifested this righteousness towards the Lord, God called Abraham righteous for one reason, faith. And that's the way we have to see those who are running after the Lord. Even with all their failures that dragging along behind me, it don't make a bit of difference. Romans 4 and 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while he was in uncircumcision, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be in uncircumcision, that righteousness might be reckoned unto them. Praise be to the Lord. And back in Genesis, there's several signs of the covenant that are manifested. There was the blood covenant that God made with Abraham. And they were real familiar with those blood covenants in those days. That's what they did back in those days. Every nation back then, they were real familiar with that blood covenant. God promised Abraham back in Genesis 15 that his seed would be as the stars, a multitude. So God made a covenant with Abraham. In fact, at that time, he was called Abram. It's before he even had a name change. What's a name change symbolize? A change of nature. And that Hebrew word for name is Shem. And it means nature, character, and authority. David's taught us that many times. And the same is in the New Testament word for name, Onoma. So we're getting a name change. Our nature, character, and authority is being changed as we become sanctified, as we walk in faith with Jesus Christ. It was before Abraham's name was changed that God made that blood covenant. Here's what God told him. And he said, take me a heifer 3 years old and a she-goat 3 years old and a ram 3 years old and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each half over against the other, but the birds divided he not. And those two people that made that covenant, they'd walk between those halved animals. But God showed that Abraham would not fulfill his half of the covenant when he put Abraham to sleep. Verse 12, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And David talks about that as a revelation of your sinful state. When you come to know God, it's a horror of great darkness. You get a revelation that you're undone, there ain't nothing you can do about it. And the Lord said unto him, he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And that was the Israelites, when they were in bondage as a type to the world, to Egypt. That's before they were baptized in the Red Sea and went off into the Promised Land. So that was a type of them when they were lost and in degeneration. Verse 14 of Genesis 15 said, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. But thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Well, God put Abraham to sleep. The only thing that went past between them divided animals was a smoking furnace and that flaming torch. But Abraham was kicked out over there. He was asleep. In other words, Abraham couldn't fulfill his part of the covenant. There wasn't nothing he could do or add to bring about that blood covenant. In Genesis 17 and 10, it's another example. It says, this is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every male among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of a covenant. in verse 13, he talked about, my covenant shall be in your flesh. So before Abraham fulfilled righteousness and putting the death of his flesh in the cutting away of his flesh, God called him righteous. And the Lord calls us righteous too, not because of where we have attained to in the Lord, but because of election. God chose us, didn't he? He sees the end from the beginning in each one of us, and he calls us righteous. And that's why, and how he wants us to see other people. He wants us to say with Paul that God who began a good work in you will perfect or finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1, 6 and 7. It is right for me to be thus minded on behalf of you. In other words, it's right for us to be minded that way toward the imperfections that we see in one another, to look past them and not to reject or criticize, but to say, God's going to finish that work in you, boy. We just got through saying about Abraham. Before he ever got circumcised, God accepted him, told him he was righteous. Romans 9:9 says, for this is a word of promise. According to this season will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but Rebekah also, having conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done anything good or bad, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. And it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, even as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. According to election, God accepted Jacob, and he rejected Esau, didn't he? You know, when we see the calling of God in a person's life, aside from all their failures and all their foolishness, God has already accepted them. And we need to accept them too, and not be so quick to try to do God's work to straighten them out. God's work to straighten them out is to pump faith into their lives, because that's the good news that they need to hear, the good news of the cross of Christ. And the good news is that on the cross he bore their sins, and they need to realize that. And if I believe that God took away my sin, he's going to do it. Not just cover up the sin, as a lot of churches are preaching. He took away the sins of the world. They had the covering in the Old Testament, but they didn't have the taking away of the sin nature. They saw the sin as this offense that you've done toward God, rather than a nature in your heart that is against God. A lot of people think God's sitting up there with a ball bat ready to smack them when they mess up. No, man, he's got more grace than we can even imagine. And he's going to pour it out even more so in the days ahead. That sin that Jesus took away and nailed to the cross is the offense in your heart that's against God, the nature of sin in your life. Jesus took it away. We ain't supposed to be looking at that. It's like looking at a sickness rather than looking at the healer. You don't keep looking at the sickness. Otherwise, you'll stay sick. You look at what Jesus did on the cross. He took my sickness away. He bore my sickness. I ain't got to bear it. Thank you, Lord. And that's the same thing with sin. You don't keep looking at the sin. We keep looking at the Savior. Praise God. He bore my sin. We turn away from that sin and we look at the Savior. Get your eyes on Jesus. Get it off the sin. And the people who look at that sin are those same people who can't get up off the ground because there's nothing but condemnation and rejection in their heart. And they feel that rejection from people. And they feel that rejection from God. But it ain't there from God. It's the people and the devil who put it there. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Everyone on this conference call tonight is coming from a background of failure. We've all failed and we've all come short of the glory of God. And that's why God designed grace. And that's why we need to cooperate with him and help him do his work and not fight against him. Get out of that condemnation. It's true. We're going to run into people who are willful, disobedient, and they are condemned. A person is righteously condemned if they're sinning with the will instead of just failing, like most of us have done. There is condemnation for those.
I think there's one other thing too, Michael.
What's that?
The church out there thinks that it's okay to feel guilty for sin all the time because they feel like that's their way of repentance. And they feel like they're not being righteous enough before God if they're not confessing their sin all the time and looking at it and realize they're some kind of a sinner. And it comes down to they don't understand what the gospel is. Like we've been saying, their sins were taken away. But most of that church doesn't have the Spirit of God either in them. They haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So they can't turn that page. They can't take that next step where, oh, that's what the Scripture does say. I don't have sin. I am a new man in Christ. It was the old man's, buried in baptism, and the new man came. They hear these things, but they don't understand it, and they can't comprehend it because they can't get it in their heart and believe it. And it comes back to condemnation and guilt. But they feel like that's part of what they have to do for Christians. They got to keep on feeling guilty and confessing sin, otherwise they don't feel like they're being washed of their sin, and that's such a trap. I see that. I see that in the church. And that's a hard thing. I'm figuring out how can I reach them and let them know, listen, it was paid. You don't have to keep, fine. Don't look at your sin like you're saying. Don't keep your eye on that sin because that's not salvation. Keep your eye on the Savior. Getting them to change their eyes off the sin, off the failures, off the constantly thinking that's what makes them righteous in front of God's eyes, but by confessing they're that sinner and having to go have communion and whatever else they got to do to get themselves washed all the time and realize, hey, it's done, it's completed work. Now we get to walk in the grace. Getting the people to walk out of that life of condemnation and get into the grace. That's, I think, and then realizing, hey, geez, that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit does for you. It gives you that confidence. It helps you walk in newness of life. It helps you along. And you may struggle, like Gail, we all did. I struggled to get to that point where you finally overcome. Not you overcome everything, but you finally start to overcome, and you don't feel that burden anymore. The Lord takes that weight away. But getting people to realize that's what the Christian life is. That's why it was so important when Paul came across the disciples that only got John's baptism. He said, well, have you received the Holy Spirit yet? He says, no. Well, thank Jesus, come on, let's get moving on that. This is what you need now. But getting people to realize that's what they need. They've been lied from birth. Oh, yeah, I got baptized as a baby. That's when I received the Holy Spirit. No, you were lied to. That didn't happen. But again, getting people to realize that they've been lied to. There's more to the Christian walk that can help them out. There's more life. Anyways, that's the things I struggle with in my life, trying to figure out how to work with the religious people out there to bring them in the newness of life, bring them into Christ. So even though they have an understanding of what Christianity is, they don't really know what salvation is. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Just my thoughts.
No, that's fine. This is y'all's forum. I'm just giving you a little something to think about. And that's good, David. Thank you so much. You're right. The church out there has got this easy, greasy grace where they can go ahead on that. They've been taught that by the teachers and preachers, the so-called teachers and preachers in the apostate religion, that they don't have to worry about sin. I'm a sinner saved by grace. They've been taught that from the non-spirit field through the spirit field also. They all believe that. That's why they have altar calls every Sunday, you know. It's the same thing over and over. You see the same people going up there every Sunday to the altar to confess their sins. And they don't know how to get out from under that rut. And all they have to do is just believe that God took it away from them, just like His Word says. But they've listened to these preachers, so-called preachers and teachers, that tell them that you are a sinner saved by grace, and the only way that you're going to get holy is when you get zapped out of here on the way up to heaven, that God's going to cleanse you on the way up. No, that ain't the way it works. Y'all know that. But yeah, it's because of wolves in sheep clothing out there, false prophets that have taught the people out there that they can sin and still go to heaven, that they can't do anything about the sin in their life. Well, he's right. They're right that you can't do anything about it other than what the Word says, and that is to have faith to believe that God already did it for you. You're going to stumble at times, but the next time you'll get a little bit better at it. The next time you'll be better than that. Don't worry about it. Just keep your eyes focused on the Lord. We overcome these obstacles in our life by steps. Keep making a step forward. Don't fall back believing that I'm condemned because I failed. No. Remember what Paul said. He said, but if what I would not that I do, it is no more I that do it, but sin which dwelleth in me. God wasn't even attributing that sin to Paul because his desire was not to sin. Paul was separating himself and God was separating him from the sin that dwelled in him. No more I that do it, but sin which dwelleth in me. God was separating him from the wickedness of the sin that was in him, and that's the way we have to see people too. We have to separate people from the sin that's in them and help them to get on God's side against the sin in their own heart. And the only way you can do that is through faith, right? Some people dwell a lot on the fact that we have to put the flesh to death. Well, that's true. But how do we do that? We only can do it by reckoning the flesh dead. We were all baptized and we know that. When we went down in the water, the flesh died. And when we came up from the water, it was Jesus, glory to God, who lives now. And that was our confession then, and it's got to be our confession now. The flesh is dead. Amen. For example, after being healed of sickness, even when you still see the symptoms, you have been healed. Now, we can help one another by getting our eyes off of the symptoms and onto the Savior, right? Galatians 2 and 20. It is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. And that's the truth you got to have seared in your consciousness. You got to quit looking at yourself and redirect your eyes and their eyes for those who have that problem. We got to get our eyes off of themselves and onto Jesus, because that's their only hope. That's faith that Jesus is doing that work in them. And again, they are accepted because of election, because God chose them. It's not because of where they are at the time. Let's face it, we've all come from different degenerate backgrounds. And if you haven't done everything perfectly, and you're not doing everything perfectly now, you can't be accepted by the works of the law. You have to still be accepted by grace. We don't want to stay a sinner saved by grace. We're in a kind of a process like that. We want to be saved by grace so that we're not sinners, right? We want to let Jesus take away that sin that's in us, and that's his purpose. He came to destroy the works of the devil, and we need to let him do it. Amen. Praise God. Man, I can get excited about this because God is cleansing his people. And we're not in the process with the Lord in agreement unless we are accepting it before it's done. Does that make sense? Unless we're accepting salvation and deliverance now for ourselves and for others, then we're not helping the Lord in the process by doing the work of God. A lot of people are trying to preach what they call the gospel, but it ain't the gospel. It's not the good news. It's the bad news. It's the, look at who you are, you rotten sinner. That's the condemnation gospel. You know, when I was in the prison ministry, man, I saw time after time after time and again, these poor guys is in there. They were telling them that they were going to hell, every one of them, you know, and you need to be saved. Bless God, you need to, you're going to hell the way you are right now. But when we came in there and we started giving them a way out, how to overcome that sin in their life, man, they started seeing that light come on. That came on. They saw a light, you know. They were running to that light, the ones who were called. They were running to that light. Oh, praise God, come back next week and tell us again what you told us this week. And what we were doing was giving them sovereign God and showing them that God is sovereign. He's orchestrated everything in their life for one purpose, and that's to mature them in Christ or to bring them to Christ. That's two reasons. And man, they saw that, and then we teach them about overcoming and how we do that by faith and allowing God to do that in their lives. And I'm going to tell you something. They were excited to get that type of gospel in there because all they'd ever been told was the condemnation gospel. The good news is for those who are called of God who are ready to and need to hear it. You need to be... not be too quick to condemn. James chapter 2 and 8. Howbeit, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ye do well. So, let's see. I want the grace, and I want the mercy, and I want the forgiveness of God. But it's just that sometimes I don't think my neighbor is worthy of it. That's the way we think, isn't it? Yeah, somebody got something they'd like to add? Whenever we're judging, or we're not forgiving, or we're critical of somebody else.
Michael.
It's because, yeah.
Yeah, this is Wade. I see that as a problem I'm having that is how to bring up a person's need without mentioning their trespass or their nature. If it's not, you know, the neighbor I mentioned earlier, he's a sweetheart. He helps everybody. He really goes way out of the way to help everybody, and he does try to teach people about Jesus. I have a lot of trouble talking about him as far as his needs without mentioning the things that I see that my flesh saw. And I know that my flesh has got to get out the way. And I need to consider myself in Christ before I look to the needs of my brother or my neighbor. And I was wondering how do we go about changing this I'm asking God to show me what it means to be one of his elect, to stay a child of the King, and not to be a part of the enemy's camp by doing things that I should be more mature to not do.
Well, that's what we've been talking about tonight, and that is to call the things that are not as though they were. You see the end from the beginning, Wade. You are righteous. This man that you've been talking to is righteous in God's eyes. He's bringing him along. And what you need to do and people around him need to do is keep encouraging him and telling him, hey, look, Jesus is working in your life. He's making you a man of God that he likes, you know, and encourage him in those areas, you know. And he'll ask you questions, and you can answer him, but in your own life there, every time you go by the mirror, Wade, look in there and say, look at it, there's Jesus.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not exactly sure how to do that. I know that I have to see Jesus in the mirror, and I see that as I change, as something changes more like Jesus, I recognize it. That's the only way I understand seeing in the mirror. I'm not exactly sure.
Well, no, you're doing it by faith. That's how you're doing it. You're doing it by faith. Look at there. I see old Jesus right there. That's not Wade no more. Wade's dead. Okay. People might think you're arrogant, but that's what the Word of God says to do. It says to look in the mirror and see Jesus. He says if you don't see Jesus and you don't speak it, you know, you see your natural face in the mirror, and you're going to fail every time if you do that. And he's trying to get us. He wants us to speak the end from the beginning at all times and quit condemning ourselves and the people around us and start speaking faith into everybody. Even when you speak faith to somebody else, you're speaking faith into your own life as well.
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Again, I think David had a good teaching Sunday, but also this believing in your baptism.
Yep.
And that's a good one, too. But I understand what Wade is saying, too, because, and David said it really well, is that a person that's not saved definitely needs to hear the law, because that's the tutor that brings them to understanding of their shortcomings of meeting God's holiness, and they aren't going to make it. But after they've become saved, they know Jesus is their Savior. They're no longer under the law. We can't put ourselves under the law. We can't put them under the law. We've got to put everybody under grace and the fullness of the gospel. We have to understand the fullness of the gospel, too. Are we applying it to our lives? When we know how to apply it to our lives, then we can walk in the fullness of the gospel, which we really need to learn well. Then we can bring others into that fullness of the gospel, too. Make sure we're trying to walk in the fullness and all the benefits. We're trying to understand what it is. And once we understand it and are trying, and not trying, but you know what I mean, we are grabbing hold of, apprehending everything we can of Christ, then we can show others too.
Anybody else got anything they'd like to add about what we're talking about here? Not condemnation, but grace.
Yes, sir, Mike. This is Albert.
Yes, sir.
All right, you guys are blessing me tremendously, because this is, you know, what I've been studying on my own. This is the key to live in the higher life, the Zoe life. I found out in my own experience that it's such a thin line between living in the Zoe life and living in the soulish life. As well intentioned as I may be, if I allow my experience to be filtered through my soulish life, then that purity that's in my spirit upon receiving Jesus gets contaminated by my soulish man or my soulish realm, if you will, and it doesn't have the same effect. That's why it's so important to continue to eat the Word of God to the point where any time, and I've learned this from, you know, the School of Hard Knocks, that sometimes when I'm sharing with others and it's my own efforts that's propelling what I'm saying or what I'm sharing, then it gets contaminated with all that wretchedness, the fallen nature that I got from Adam. And I have to be patient and listen and learn and grow and eat and be fed to the point that when God speaks through me, or the Holy Spirit controls or designates what words or what actions that comes out of me, then it's pure. And see, the problem is, and Satan uses this very strategically to inhibit our spiritual growth, because sometimes we can be so well intentioned, but we get into being opinionated, like you said, and you know, we don't really know. But that's when that old man, that strong man, that comes from Adam, gets in the way, and just, you know, inhibits or causes a problem for us, and then we get into a dilemma, and we're trying to, what is it? What's going on? It's that old nature. That's why we have all these issues in this world and in this country now, because of the fallen nature of man. I'm right, you're wrong. I'm right, you're wrong. I'm right, you're wrong. I hate you. I hate you too. But everybody is, you know, about a higher power. But we're all operating in that flesh. You know, that's why I hate politics. So what you guys have been saying has been beautiful. Is God is opening up understanding magnificently. It's just a beautiful thing. And so long suffering is where the growth is. When we deal with these dilemmas that we go through, that's the old nature being crucified, which was already crucified, but it's just manifesting itself to where we can either operate in the truth, the higher life, the Zoe life, or continue to be deceived by operating in the soulish realm. So, hallelujah. God bless you, brothers. I'm done.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's some good points there, Albert. All right, anybody else like to talk about speaking grace into people's lives?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, go ahead, Trish.
I don't know if this might help Wade or not when he was talking about seeing Jesus in the mirror. What the Lord helped me do, or what let me see if I can get focused here. What helped me is what Michael was talking about earlier, which we know David talks about all the time, is the character, the nature, and the authority. What's a name, you know, is the character, nature, and authority. And that's just huge in itself. But looking in the mirror, when I look in the mirror, you know, I used to do that too, like, okay, how do I not see myself, you know? But what the Lord showed me was I was looking at the character and the nature and the authority of the spirit man, the Christ in me. So I don't know if that would help. It just was really, really like a useful perspective for me. So that's all I wanted to share. I hope that made sense.
Yeah, that's a good way of doing it. That's an awful good way of doing it. Awesome. What do you think, Wade? Does that help you out, bud?
Yeah, that's that's kind of like what I was saying, that I see Christ in life, and I see it's shining in me or shining out from me, and I note that one nature. It's like noticing somebody's hair but not looking at their face, and so I see a virtue or something that points to Christ, and I see it in my life. That's the only way I've known to see myself in the mirror. I know I need to remember that I'm crucified with Christ, and that's not I that live but Him. And that's where I'm learning to see in the mirror. I don't think I've ever asked my wife about that. I need to ask her how she feels about that. Sometimes
amen.
We don't. Amen. Amen.
Well, that's kind of the way we all do it. I look in the mirror. When I got a mirror right here by my door. I look at that thing in the morning sometimes. I say, look at there. There's Jesus. And then from that point on, I believe that Jesus is inside of me and He's working through me. Okay, that's how I do it. And I know that when I walk out of there, that God's with me. And that's how I kind of do it myself. You know, and then I ask the Lord a lot of things during the day. And I know a lot of y'all do, if not all of you do. You ask the Lord for direction all during the day, you know. We pray for people all the time. All the time. That devil is very persistent, but he's getting weaker and weaker in this fellowship, I believe. And we just keep on praying for people. We keep on encouraging people. We keep on teaching the things that God has given us to each other by speaking the word. And boy, I tell you what, God's going to bring out a bride that is powerful and is bright and is spotless, and that He's just doing it. And we believe it, right? We're looking at the end from the beginning. We're calling those things that are not as though they were, bless God, in each one of our lives. So we see Jesus. Wait, I see Jesus in you. I see Jesus in Jeanette. I see Jesus in everybody. I see Jesus in Albert. Y'all look and see Jesus in me, because, you know, sometimes we get down. We don't, we get into self-pity sometimes. And I don't prone to do that a whole lot, but at times, you know, I get to thinking about things, and then I get to thinking, well, Jesus is inside of me. He's taking care of all that stuff. What am I worried about? And so I kick back and rest in the knowledge that God's taking care of it. We have to keep that constantly in our mind. We keep the Word of God constantly in front of us and going through our minds and meditating on these words, these promises that God has given us, and we'll be able to speak them into other people's lives. Listen, brother, God took that curse from us, took it to the cross. We don't have to bear that curse anymore, because Jesus bared it. You speak that stuff out. You speak those promises out, and people will be encouraged by it. And then, you know, next thing you know, he'll be right back up there where he was before. And that's what we do with one another. We encourage one another. We embrace this gospel that God has so graciously given us, the true gospel I'm talking about, that God has given to people like David, and has created, beget, I should say, other brothers and sisters with this truth. And that truth is going out exponentially here shortly. The revival is on the way. All right, anybody else?
Hello?
Yeah.
You know, we all had fathers, earthly fathers, and we would always want to hear a good praise word from our father, you know, and those of us who are fathers, you know, we would never want to say anything bad about our children or our son or our daughter. But, you know, God is the Word, And when he speaks that word, it creates. Anything that comes out of his mouth happens. It creates. And it makes life, you know? That word of God there that's in Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's God's word creates in you this. It makes life happen in you. And this life is you, the light that's in you. And this light grows as we get more of this word and we get more of this life. This is God's word. It creates. It happens when he speaks it. You see, he speaks this word for us, and it creates in us this Christ in us. As we go on and we think of any sort of great word that God has, it's already created. It's done. And that's in John chapter 1, you know, and it speaks to us and we receive it, you know, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God. That's the word he the word, God's the word that creates, you know. It goes from the word to creation to life to light. And we receive that light of man, which is the life that God has given us, with the word that he spoke. When he speaks that word, it creates. Everyone wants to serve God, even the fallen angels. When he speaks it, it happens. He's sovereign. I just like was reading John one day, and you know, I was just like breaking it down. Word to life to light. And there's, you know, nothing was made that wasn't made by him, it says there. And it's just so exciting to know that Jesus taught us to call him Father, and Father speaks that creation for us to happen. And that's just exciting. I just remember the first time, you know, when I was trying to commit words to heart, and it was that John 1:12 there, and it just flabbergasted me. It keeps going, like the first time I remember reading that, trying to commit that to heart and asking God to put that word in my heart, that's his word, and how, and it creates in us what God said. Because it has to happen. Just like in the beginning, it has to happen. Amen.
Amen. That's good, Andrew. Thank you so much. You know, I remember years ago I heard Kent Hovind talk about creation, and he said when God said, "Let there be light," he didn't tell that light to stop. That light is still going throughout the universe. It's still expanding the universe. So that's God's creative power. Praise God. All right, anybody else? It's a good subject now. It's something we need to talk about here if you're struggling with it. You know, I know I have in the past struggled with trying to figure out how to get out of some of the things that we get ourselves into. And it's all by faith. Just believing that God's working in us. Just kicking back and resting in the knowledge that God's doing it in us. And we act on that. We keep our mind and our eyes focused on the Lord. And you'll be so much easier. This will be such an easier walk when we do that. It's when we get our eyes off of him and on our own situations that we start stumbling. It's because we've been acclimated to looking at the natural and hearing the natural and working by the natural and pulling ourselves up by the bootstraps. But, you know, there comes a time when we're going to have to allow God to do it, because pulling ourselves up by the bootstraps ain't going to work. It's just not going to work. Because God, that's the reason, you know, that's the reason God's going to bring on this judgment. It's to, he's starting this judgment in the church first. He's going to shake this world. He's going to shake the people out of those apostate religions and put them into the true gospel. That's what it's all about. He's getting him a people together to get spotless and blemishless, to be with him for eternity. And he is, it's not that he's desperate. He's just going to do it. And there's people that are profitable servants, and there's people that are unprofitable servants. And there are the called, and there are the elect, the ones that he's chosen from the foundation of the world. That's going to be with him in heaven. And we all want to be with him in heaven. I know you do, or you wouldn't be up here on this conference call. We all wouldn't be up here fellowshipping with one another and speaking these things in each other's lives if we didn't want to be up there with God. He's not going to have a bunch of sinful folks up there disrupting what's going on with pride and arrogance and unforgiveness in their heart. Ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. He's going to have loving people. He said the greatest of all of this is love. And that's love for your neighbor, love for God, and for your neighbor. When you love your neighbor, you don't lie, you don't steal, you don't have unforgiveness in your heart for him. All of that's down by the wayside as a Christian. We learn that because God has taught it to us in his word. Praise God. We're coming into some exciting times here. And he's getting this this group ready for an exciting, wonderful, fulfilling time. You know, the angels in heaven, the old apostles and disciples in heaven wish they were alive today to witness what we're going to be witnessing here shortly. Because God's going to pour out his grace like he's never poured it out before in the world since the creation. More people are going to come into the kingdom in the next few years than ever has in the history of man, because God's grace only and the faith of his people to believe that they'll do it, that he'll do it. God is so awesome. He is so awesome. I just love him. Lord, I just love you so much for the work that you're doing in each one of us, Father. It is just awesome to serve a God who loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to the cross to die for us, to take the curse away from us, Lord. We just thank you so much for that, Father. We praise you, Father, for that. And Lord, just keep us, Lord, in that special place. Keep our eyes focused on you. Give us, Lord, and put it in our hearts when we lose a little bit of hunger for your word or you, that you we would pray and ask you to up the ante a little bit or a bunch. Put us in that fire, Lord, so we get rid of this dross. We just praise you for the places that you put us, Lord, so that we can get out, get rid of all of this dross that's in us, Lord. Purify us, Lord, by your grace. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. We've got a couple of minutes left. Does anybody have any prayer requests that we need to pray about?
I just wanted to say that we already live inside of Christ in heavenly places. We already live in heavenly places. And, you know, we just need to practice staying dead, because it's not true, you know, when that flesh rises up. It's not true. We're Jesus now, and we operate in his resurrected power, you know. And but I was just thinking, you know, that's, we live in heavenly headquarters right now.
That's right. Amen. All right. Anybody need a prayer or would like to pray?
I could use some prayer.
Okay. Is that Terry?
Yes.
Okay, Terry.
I just would like everybody to agree with me that I no longer have any seasonal allergies. And I have a chicken that is blind in one eye, and I just want to be believing that it's healed.
Well, all right. You go ahead and pray, and we're going to believe William. We're going to watch a miracle.
All right. Well, Lord, I know your word says that I'm healed, and Lord, I pray that you just give me faith, and I just thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ that are in agreement with me, that strengthen my faith, and I just thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you for healing me of all allergy problems, and for our one chicken that has a blind eye, Lord, I just pray that you open that eye up and just completely heal it in Jesus' name, and I thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. We command that blind eye to be seeing right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for restoring that eye to that chicken. That's a prize chicken, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that she is healed, completely delivered of these sinus problems. You don't have them anymore. She's a child of God. You took that curse on you 2,000 years ago, and she don't have to worry with it. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. You believe that, Tracy?
Terry, yes.
I mean,
yes.
Terry, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Praise God. I knew it started with a T anyway. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father, for her healing and that chicken's healing in Jesus' name. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Oh, we just had somebody come back to life. Hang on just a second and I'll tell you what it's about. You say Jimmy came back alive? Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Is he going to be okay?
He's busted up. Yeah, he's going
to
be okay.
Okay. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Y'all hear that?
No.
Well, David and I prayed with Garrett Crawford. One of his workers that he works with fell out of a tree, fell down. I don't really know all the circumstances, but apparently he was in the tree. And got caught by it, and it killed him. And Garrett called us, and we prayed. We prayed that his spirit come back to his body, and he'd be alive again and be healed. And Garrett apparently just called David and told him that the boy came back to life. So, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are awesome, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God.
Thank you. That's so amazing.
I know. Isn't it amazing? Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And this is a young man, too. Young man. Praise God. He's going to have another chance to run toward the Lord. I don't think he was saved. So, Father, we just thank you so much for Jimmy, for giving his back life back to him, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to place your angels round about him, Lord, and he's going to be healed completely. But, Father, most of all, we ask that you grant repentance to him and salvation to him, Lord, and draw him to you in a mighty way, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord, that he's going to be a testimony to all of those men out there that he works with, that God is sovereign and the angel of death has no authority over him. And we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Lord, bless us this night. Bless all the brothers and sisters out there, Lord. And give us all a good night's sleep tonight, Lord. And tomorrow, Father, I just ask that miracles happen for all of us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
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 Oh, glory be to God. That's awesome stuff. That's awesome.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.